That is one beautiful woman.
Amen.
15 years yesterday.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you didn't think I'd ever get married. Me and my father-in-law, we made a deal 15 years ago. I would do everything I could to make her happy every day of my life, and he would try not to shoot me. Every now and then he gives me a reminder and says, "Son, have you seen my new gun? Why does it only have one bullet in it?" "That's all I need, son." No, Terry's a great wife.
Amen.
She's a great mother. She's a great co-worker in Mexico, I think. And I'm very privileged for her to be my wife. She looks great, she cooks great, and she lets me be the boss. What more could you want? You guys laugh because but the truth is, either your wife has no faith and she runs your household, or she has a lot of faith and she lets you think you do. No, that's the truth. The only reason why any woman submits to their husband is because she firmly believes, Ephesians, that she's doing it under the Lord. Because there is no reason in this modern age why they have to. None whatsoever. It's only by faith. And so I admire the faith that my wife has in that aspect. Because believe me, when we got married, I have no idea why she married me. She, really, I don't understand it. I look back and I think about it and I think, man, I don't understand why any woman marries any man, actually. I mean, you look at men, you look at women, you think, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? And yet, I'm 18 and I was stupid, really stupid. And I was I was a lot of things anyways. And she just put up with a whole lot with me. And I just really appreciate that. And she's put up with a lot for 15 years. And I appreciate that a lot. Anyway, it's funny how Bill was talking about last night with Joshua. But, it's not just Joshua. It's all of us. It's all these missionaries. I just wonder how. Ben, as I said, how they get married. But how do missionaries get married? It's not like we're offering much. Terry mentioned Hector, or they call him Cuco, in Mexico. And his wife, Marisol, he's from Aguascalientes. He's a brother in Aguascalientes. And his wife is one of the ladies that I won in Querétaro. She's from the church in Querétaro. Well, see, just get an idea. We had a man, one of the missionaries in Querétaro we sent out. His name is Manuel. We sent him out single. And he wanted a wife. And so after, like, I think it was 2 years, he was on the mission field. And he came back for their annual mission conference. And he just approached one of the ladies in the church and said, I decided I need a wife. And so I want you to marry me. And you got till the end of the week to give me an answer. And she made him wait the full 7 days. But she married him. We thought, wow, that's pretty quick. They didn't date or anything. They just showed up and says, "I need a wife," and she wanted a missionary. And so at the end of the week, they get married and, they go back to Pachuca. We thought, man, that's pretty quick. Well, then this young man, Hector Cuco from Aguascalientes, Bill tells him, "Hey, they got you're looking for a wife. They got the farm over there in Querétaro. You ought to go there." So he goes over there a Wednesday night, shows up right before the meeting. He calls the elders before he leaves and says, "Look, I'm looking for a wife. I'm going to be going out as a missionary in a couple months. I'm looking for a wife. And so I'm going to go to the meeting." They said, "Fine." So they called up all the young ladies in the church and said, "Hey, a missionary's coming to the meeting looking for a wife if you're interested." Well, they all dude'd up and showed up to the meeting. And after the meeting, they all got in line to talk to him. And he talked to them all and picked one out, and they got married.
Wow.
And we thought, wow, that's really quick. Wow. You say, man, I don't know about that. Where's the romance? I don't know either. Anyways, that's what happened. That's pretty interesting. Look in Acts chapter 16, verse 9. Very familiar passage. I'm sure it's preached over and over and over in mission conferences. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Brother Mark, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this meeting. Lord, I just pray that you'd open every heart, that we be receptive to your word, that we be obedient to your word. I pray that you give life to the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. I read this passage and I think, what would it take to get some of you guys to do something about missions? Now, I want to be very clear. I know that a lot of you do. There's no doubt. I look at every month they send us a list of those who have given to us. We all missionaries get the list of those who have given to us. And so I know that a great deal of you do an awful lot for the gospel. You do a lot with your money. I know that many of you have your own ministries right here in San Antonio, and you preach on the streets, or you door knock, or you hang up the hangers on the doors, or you send out letters, and I don't know, you do tapes. There's a great deal of effort in this church and ministries. I know a lot of you are very involved, and so I'm not really speaking to you, but there's some of you that are not involved at all. You're just not doing anything at all. You're not doing anything here. You're not doing anything for Mexico. You're not doing anything for Poland. You barely show up to the meeting sometimes. Now, there's some like that. There's some like that in every church. I'm not just picking on this church. This is every church. This is Querétaro. This is Aguas Calientes. I'm sure it's Łódź, Poland. I'm sure it's Warsaw. Every church has these people. And I'm not necessarily trying to condemn you or to hurt your feelings. I'm just wondering, as I read this passage, as I think about this, I'm just wondering, what could I say tonight that could change your opinion? Because it is a matter of opinion. You have decided, for your reasons, that you have other priorities. Okay, that's fine. You're welcome to have what other priorities you want to have. But you know, I have certain priorities too. And I think that the gospel is a priority. And I wonder what I could say that could change your opinion about what your priorities are. Now, I can be very persuasive about certain things. When it comes to computers, I can convince almost anyone to buy a Macintosh. I'm pretty good at that. I've converted all kinds of people. Brother Linda went out and bought two. I'm pretty persuasive. Well, I wonder what I could say to you for you to decide tonight, I'm going to change my priorities. What would it take? What would it take for you to change your mind? What if I could bring all the brothers and sisters from the churches in Mexico up here so they could personally tell you what they tell us every year when we're coming up?
Amen.
I wonder if that would change your mind. If I could bring up literally hundreds of people that would stand up here with tears streaming down their face and tell you, "Thank you so much for changing my life." They say two things to us almost invariably every time they want us to tell you. "Thank you for sending missionaries, and please send more."
Amen.
Now I wonder, would that change your mind? If I could bring up a slideshow and I could put them right up here and you could see that. Hundreds of men and women and children all saying the same thing. "What you did changed my life forever." I wonder if that would change your mind. I wonder if that would make you think, you know what? This is really important.
Amen.
You know what? This is something I wish I had been a part of.
Amen.
There's some works I've been a part of. Some great things I would have hated to have missed out on.
Amen.
Man, we got this. We got the church in Querétaro I was in. Brother Adrian was there, and we worked together there. And man, we won some people there to the Lord. And I go back and visit them now, and I see how they're doing. And they're preaching, and they're winning people. And they're seeing success in their ministry. And just the other day, one of them, one of the pastors, Hugo Moreno, he calls me up on the phone out of the blue and says, "Michael, I just want to tell you, thank you for being the one that preached the gospel to me."
Amen.
Now, if they were to call you, would that do it for you? Because I can get your number and I can call them and have them call you. Would that convince you? I just wonder what it would take. Sometimes, you know, it just seems strange to me that you, no matter what you tell Christians and how you phrase it and how you show it to them and how you paint the picture, they just don't seem to get it. Would you get it that way? We're talking about lives changed drastically. Just one of the other elders in Querétaro, his sister-in-law, his brother got saved with him about 8 years ago. And his children got saved shortly after. And they've been going to the meetings for 8 years. And the mother, she was a witch. I mean, literally. Literally. And she was just horrible. Horrible to him, horrible to the whole... Just a terrible, terrible situation. For 8 years, this man's been faithful in the meetings. He's one of our street preachers. He plays the guitars in the meetings. He's a song leader in one of the churches. He's been going for 8 years. And me and Brother Adrian, we both talked to this woman. And boy, she was something else. Well, I just heard just a while ago, like a month ago or so, she gets saved.
Amen.
Sure, her brother keels over and dies unexpectedly. 1 week later, her sister gets sick and she starts to die. And so she goes to the witch doctor in her little village to get the witch doctor to do something. And when she gets to the witch doctor tells her, "I can't do anything for your sister, and you're next." And she went home and got saved. And her life is completely different. She's a completely different person. Wouldn't even hardly recognize her, how she was and how she is now. She brings people to meetings. She goes with her husband street preaching. She's trying to get him to surrender the mission field so they can go preach somewhere. It's a whole different story now. What if she were to ask you? What if she were to say, "You know what? I have a village full of family members who are in the same boat I was, the same situation I was, and they need for you to send somebody." You think you might get on board? You think that might do it for you? I just wonder. Because some people, I don't know what it takes to get them to understand. I don't understand. I don't get it. I've said it before. I can understand the distractions. I get distracted, but I don't understand how Christians can completely miss the picture on this issue, that how important evangelism is. You know, if we're talking about spreading democracy, well, that's a big yawner. That's a waste of time. If we're talking just about having lots of little groups and, you know, we got these little churches supposedly and we all just sit around and we play bingo at night, you know, some people, that's all they know from church. You got those guys stranded on that little lifeboat and they're about to die, and so they say, "Hey, let's say something, you know, does anybody know anything about God?" And one guy says, "Well, I lived next to a church for a long time. I'll say a few words before we die." And so they all bow their head and he yells out, "B-32! B-32, you know, this is what some people, that's all they know. If we're talking about that, then let's just pack up tonight and go home. But you know, I've been there and I've seen it firsthand. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about lives changed forever.
Amen.
If you saw that, would it convince you? Would it convince you that you should start giving some money to missionaries? Would that convince you? Boy, it convinces me. I don't know if you know that, but all your missionaries support missionaries. It's like someone drops $1 in the pot and we all just sort of pass it around. I don't know how it works out, but it's incredible. I'm making this program, this accounting software for the church, and boy, it's a lot of trouble. Brother Brian says, "You know what we ought to do? We ought to just keep what we get and quit giving it around. It would make everything so much easier." Tell you what, some of the biggest givers in this church are missionaries. Because we know it. We see it. I see it firsthand. Boy, you know, I've never been to Poland. Boy, I want to be a part of Poland.
Yeah.
And so I give offerings to the missionaries in Poland.
Yes.
I want to be a part of that work. Boy, when those people in Poland, when they start sending home and saying, "Hey, thank you for sending missionaries," I want them to be thinking me also. I want to say, "Hey, I had a part in that." When they say, "My life has changed forever," I want to be able to say, "Hey, I was part of that." And now I'm not just talking about, you know, breaking our own arms, patting ourselves on the back. I'm talking about just being a part of something great. There's some people that, you know, they only drink Coca-Cola. They won't drink anything but Coca-Cola because they think they're a part of something great if they drink Coca-Cola. I don't understand it because I hate Coca-Cola. Or, you know, that's what they think. That's the whole selling point of a Macintosh. You're part of something big. The counter-revolution. Well, that's all a bunch of nonsense. But you have a chance right now to be a part of something real.
Amen.
You got a chance right now to be a part of something really big. Something life-changing. Maybe not changing your life so much, but changing other people's life. So what if you went down and they came up to you and they said, "Thank you, and please send more." Would that convince you? If they asked you to do it, would you agree then? Would you say, "Okay, then I'll do something now," if they ask you? Because you know what? They ask all the time. Oh, you don't hear it because they're down there and you're up here. But they ask all the time. All the time. What if we asked you? What if I asked you? Is that what you're waiting for? Okay, I'll ask you. Would you do something for missions? Please. Now, would that convince you? I bet I could get every single one of the missionaries up here right now, and they would all be willing to ask you. You know, sometimes you don't have things just because you don't ask. So I wonder about that. I can fix almost any computer problem very simply. But I see a lot of people struggling and struggling and struggling with their computers, and I don't help them because they don't ask. If they would just ask, I would help them. Brother Lindo, he knows that. He asks. Now, he takes me out to eat, and I really appreciate that. They wonder, "Why do you always work on Brother Lindo's computer?" Because we go out to eat. And he likes to eat. we're not talking about Taco Bell. Well, I'm asking. Now, would that convince you? If all the missionaries were to ask you, would that convince you? Would that be sufficient? Is that what you need? What if your pastors were to ask you? What if they were all, and you know what? They do.
That's right.
They stand up here. I've heard them Sunday after Sunday saying, "Don't forget to give to missions.
Amen.
Don't forget to talk to your neighbors. Don't forget. And they ask you. Now, would that convince you? If they were to ask you? How about they were to ask you tonight? Right now, they were to stand up and say, "Please do something for the gospel." How about that? Would that do it for you? What if you were to have a vision just like this? Just like this, a vision. You're at home at night tonight, and you actually have a vision. And some pole tells you, "Please help us."
Amen.
How about you have a vision, and some Mexican man or woman or child tells you, "Please, please help me." Would that do it? I'm just wondering, would it? Would it convince you? Would you be like Paul and say, "We arise immediately and endeavored to go to Macedonia"? Because someone said, "Please help me." What if Jesus Christ Himself were to ask you tonight? What if He was to ask you? What if He was to say, "I got this huge burden. I got this huge burden, and I want you to help me. I want you to take a part in this work that I want to get done. You, not the one next to you, not the one behind you, but you. I want you to do something. I got something lined up for you to do." Now, I don't know what that might be. You know, it might be that you just need to learn to give a little better. It might be that. Now, I'm not talking about stealing from Paul to pay Peter. I'm not talking about taking offerings from the elders to give to missionaries. I'm talking about actually giving more. Okay? But what it might be that. I don't know. It might be something more, because, you know, it might be that God is calling you. He wants you to do something right here in San Antonio. It might be that you're supposed to be going out with those brothers that are street preaching down there at the downtown. It might be that you're supposed to be sending out some flyers and hanging some things and doing some door knocking. Is that possible? It might be that God's calling one or two of you to say, I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to Poland. I'll go to Mexico. I'll go to South America. I don't know where. It might be that. I'm not sure what it is. But if Jesus Christ was to say to you tonight, come help me. And I wonder, would that convince you? Would that convince you? Because if these things don't convince you, I don't know how to convince you. All the brothers in Mexico repeatedly ask you, repeatedly say, please, help us. I would dare say that the ones in Poland would say the same thing. Please, help us. And yet you're unconvinced. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of people's lives changed, and you're unmoved. I realize I'm not speaking to all, but I'm speaking to some. You can sit there and see that and hear that, and it does not faze you. Your missionaries tell you every year the same thing. We need help. We need help. All the help we can get. We need people praying for us. Amen. We need people giving to us. We need people holding down the fort here in San Antonio. You know, putting aside their petty differences, making this church work. Amen. We need more people sent out. Amen. We need more people filling in the ministries that we're leaving behind. You know, that's one of the problems in churches that send out missionaries. They leave voids. We send out our best, not our worst. We don't send out losers. We try not to. My dad said he was. He slipped under the radar. But we try not to send out losers. I'm serious. You say, well, brothers, I got fired yesterday, and so I'm not doing anything. I'll go. No, thank you. We're not looking for that. We're looking for the best preachers. I remember Brother Lindell talking about when he was surrendered to go to the mission field a long time ago as a Baptist. They didn't want him to go. They said, no, we send down poor preachers to do that work. Keep the better ones here. We don't do that. We send down the best ones we got. And that leaves this void in the church that needs to be filled. And when it isn't filled, the church starts faltering and gets cold. Now, this is a danger in churches that send out missionaries. And it needs to be filled. So we're, you know, we come up every year and we preach these messages. And some people ask me, why do we have mission conferences every year? Because we're telling you we need help. But you're unconvinced. You sit there every year and do nothing. Next year comes around and you're sitting in the same place with no progress made. Unconvinced. The pastors tell you every week that they need help. And you're unconvinced. If you've ever read the Bible, you've read over and over and over Jesus Christ saying, come and help me. The labors are few. The harvest is plenteous. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers. Amen. That's Jesus Christ speaking. He's saying, I have a huge work to do. We have that song we sing, my fields are empty and my house is full. I need people to go out. I need people to do some things. I need people to get off their fat butts and get to work. Amen. Now, if that offends you that I say that, just imagine how it offends Jesus Christ that that's you. I just wonder what it would take to convince you. If you could just tell me what it would take to convince you, I'd do everything in my power right now to do so. But I have this suspicion that some of you refuse to be convinced. Now, that's sad. Let me tell you what's going to happen. If you're not convinced, you're going to go to your grave and then to your judgment and have never done anything that mattered for anything. Your life will amount to nothing. Because there's nothing else worth living for.
That's right.
There really isn't. This work, the church, the gospel, this is what matters.
Amen.
This is really what matters.
Amen.
Everything else doesn't matter. Coca-Cola, Macintosh, all the other stuff, it doesn't matter. But this matters. This is important. And you need to get on board.
Amen.
You need to get convinced. Now, I don't know what it's going to take to do so. I wish I did. But you know. You know what's holding you back. You know what it is. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you're scared. Join the crowd. Boy, I'm scared. I'm scared all the time. Maybe you're distracted. Well, you'll fit right in with me. I'm always distracted. Well, I'm pretty sure that's one of the complaints of every coworker I've ever had. Boy, I'm always distracted. Oh, maybe you're busy. Well, maybe you are. Well, you know, a lot of people are busy. Maybe you're busy in the wrong things. You know, a while back, I was real busy. I was trying to do all these different things, and Brian wanted me to make accounting software back then, and Brent wanted me to make a thing so they could do their Polish Bible, and some others wanted me to help them make a concordance, and I was making my own concordance. I had all these projects going. Boy, I was busy. And boy, the church in Querétaro was suffering. And one day I just woke up and said, you know what? I'm not doing it.
Amen.
I'm not helping Poland. And I'm not doing accounting software for Brian. I'm not doing any of it. And I just quit. I'm going to put some priorities down. Nothing is ever said in the Bible that you are going to have the right to hold all your hobbies and all your pleasures and all your jobs you want to do, and God's going to be able to squeeze in what He wants you to do.
That's right. Yeah.
You're just going to have to make some choices.
Amen.
You're just going to have to make some decisions about what is important to you. So maybe you're busy and you need to be a little less busy. Maybe you need to just say, you know what? I'm not going to do these things over here no more. I'm going to take that time and I'm going to do something I consider more important, because that's basically the decision you make. You decide that your second job is more important than the gospel. Now, it may be. That's your decision to make. But that's the decision you're making. Now, I'm not here telling you what to quit doing or what to start doing. I'm just telling you that you're going to miss out on something really great.
Amen.
To obtain something that you're not going to remember in a few years. And I wonder what it would take to convince you. Paul, he's looking for where to go. And he gets his vision. And this man appears to him and says, come to Macedonia and help us. And they stand up and they immediately do everything in their power to get to Macedonia. That's where God's calling us. Now I wonder, where is God calling you tonight? Where is He calling you tonight? Maybe He's calling you to come out of that back row and sit a little closer to the front row.
Amen.
That may be what He's calling some of you to do right now. Some of you sit back there in the back and hide back there and can't wait to flee the scene of the crying as soon as it's over. And you wonder why you don't get anything out of church. You get out what you put in. So maybe He's calling you up a little bit closer to the front. Maybe He's calling you up to stand up in the meeting and start participating a little bit. Maybe He's calling you back over there to the little box to write out some checks. Maybe He's calling you over there where the tracks are all stacked up and get a bunch of them and go out and do something out there in the streets for Him. Look, there's a million things He can be calling you to do. But you're just unconvinced, aren't you?
You're just not having none of that crazy talk. Go sell crazy elsewhere. We're all full up here. What would it take? What could I say to you tonight? Well, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this, you're missing out. You are really missing out.